Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell, just out of curiosity, you didn't put this together. You know what this is? This song?
It's Nerd.
You do know it's Nerd. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can get this lap dance.
Why are you
here
doubting?
Well, this song is you can get this lap dance here for free, is what. And then there's the guy's side and there's the girl's side. But it's the hook is you can get this lap dance here for free, and that's not, you know.
There's no such thing.
No, unless what's a good thing if it happens or a terrible thing. It's one. I guess it could be either. But usually you don't get them for free unless something's good happening. Well, unless your girl's feeling a little, you know.
She likes me. Every time you go into a strip club, they really do really, really like you.
Lap dances my wife has given me, over under, a half.
I'm going to go under.
Good call. You win. Zero. No pictures, no nothing. Like, man, I was born too early. Because the game has changed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Michael, my old producer. See, I don't know Dell. I don't even want to ask. I don't want to put Dell's stuff out here like that.
Well, I like to put his stuff out there.
Of course you do.
I love that.
I just know that my old producer was like, I said, do y'all just, he's like 26. I said, you just get pictures. He goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think Snapchat is for?
No, just texts and Snapchat. I said, yeah. You just get pictures like all the time. He goes, yeah, I mean, if you start going out with the girl or you just hook up, or you don't even have to hook up, I'm like, they just send pictures? Yeah. That happens?
Well, it depends on the girl. Sometimes you have to request. Sometimes they just feel like they need to send you.
But that's
they feel like they're looking good today, so they send you a picture.
That's just a normal.
That's nice.
That's just a normal thing.
I got an older buddy who's single who gets a lot of pictures. You could be older and get them too, but you have to be single.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to be, but you will be.
It's better.
But you typically will be.
Right.
At some point.
And yeah, you will be
post
single.
Pictures.
Yeah, right. See, that's how Tiger got single.
Because guys are too stupid to throw away their pick. They're just like, maybe I could put it in this folder.
My buddy, though, has a secret app for secret pictures.
I heard that it looks like
that nobody
whatever.
Can open. You have to have a secret, your password, you know, at that.
So my problem is, I must be talking to the wrong women because they'll send the picture and then they'll be like, particularly on Snapchat, they send it because it goes away. And Snapchat will let you know if you screenshot. And then even when I get pictures through text messages, you're like, oh, make sure you don't keep that one. I was like, what the hell are you sending me the picture for if you don't want me to keep it?
No. Never type anything that you don't want anyone else.
I told my wife before, I said, look, send me something. I swear she goes, no, you lose your phone. You're too. She's like, you
true.
Lose. Yeah, no, but I can't say, yeah, that's true. I said, no, I don't.
Man.
I'm not going to. She goes, no, I'm not sending you anything. I said, I will let you watch. Look, send it now while I'm standing here, and I'll delete it right here. Nope. You're going to lose your phone.
And in between, the kids will pick it up.
Yeah. I got something as tame as she just pulled back the cover. She was in bed. Like in shorts and a t-shirt. And then she's like, make sure you don't keep that. I was like, what?
Why? That's good too.
Yeah.
Oh, you kept it. And you kept everything.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I was
not
like,
on radio.
Why would you not?
Not on radio.
You could always say, yeah, I deleted it.
John,
whatever.
Yeah, not on radio, he didn't keep it.
I mean,
off radio, he did.
Okay. She wasn't some thought, so I actually liked her, so I did it on. I followed through with her request.
Some thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the thought.
Thoughts are bad.
Right.
Well, they're not bad. They're just not.
Well, they're just.
They're nothing special.
Well, that's the word. Yes. Well, that's they could. They're special, but they're not something you want to hang on to for very long.
All right. So I made the comment that's not being met with favorably on Twitter. that James is the closest we've seen James Harden to Michael Jordan.
Well, how now, here's could you what say I mean. That?
Well, you got to strike championships immediately.
Well, okay. Immediately. Take away those six.
I'm saying playing style. Take the 82. Take the 82.
The lockdown defense you want to throw away too?
Yeah.
Let's put that aside also. But what I am saying is tremendously explosive score, right? Jordan could
They're
go
both
get,
humans.
Could Jordan go get 50 or 60?
They actually play basketball?
No, hold on.
They're both African-American?
Hold on. Could okay. Jordan, how many guys who are two guards? They're both two guards, right?
Both two guards?
They're big guys.
There you go.
Big guys. Right? 6'5", 6'6", 200. And James is actually bigger than MJ was. But they're both. And but when MJ lifted, MJ got pretty big. I mean, you know, six. Michael was 6'5", 6'6". James is 6'6". He's about 240 pounds.
He's heavier.
So they're both big guys. They both physically could impose their will on other two guards. They both can shoot from three, although James is a better three-point shooter, but the game has also changed.
Michael got better as he went along.
Yeah, but I know, so that's what I'm saying. Michael got better. James is a three-point... I mean, the game has changed. James can get to the hole and score at the rim. MJ could score at the rim, or at some point he scored outside. Now, MJ did a lot of his work in the post-ups because they ran a triangle offense, but Michael could get you points, rebounds. He could go for a 50-point game. He could string them all together. He could have monster performances that were, you know, that were record-breaking. He was big. They're similar sizes.
Did a NBA coach with titles ever run the Twitter to call out Michael's traveling, in which the NBA would remove it from the game, like Steve Kerr did yesterday after James made a three to kind of put the game away? Now, Steve Kerr.
Wait. Steve Kerr was complaining about
the NBA tweeted out James Harden's, like, their NBA Twitter
his side
account.
Step.
Yeah, he called. He said it was Steve Kerr considered it traveling.
That's not traveling.
And said it's an embarrassment to the game that they allow it.
Oh, God.
And
are
now
you kidding
then
me?
He deleted it. It's an embarrassment. I think the league is so happy with all the scoring that it doesn't want to enforce
wait,
stuff
he
like that.
He deleted that.
Steve Kerr deleted his tweet.
He got his tweet deleted because you know what? Because, and I respect Steve Kerr a lot, that's dumb. That's no different than a step back. It's just in a different direction. You can't say step backs. By the way, Steph Curry is one of the step back legends. There's no difference in stepping backwards or stepping sideways. It's just a different direction. It's the same step mechanism. James is just genius for doing that. But the Jordan thing, clearly you throw the name out there. But who's the last guy that you can remember that had that size? You could say LeBron is the only other guy. But Kobe didn't share the ball.
But
Kobe was like a defender.
Wait, okay. Kobe played in the triangle. Kobe won championships. Kobe played defense.
He could be an explosive scorer.
Kobe went explosive scorer that drove to the hole.
Jordan made critical passes in situations,
actually, Kobe
but was he known
actually,
for sharing the ball?
Yeah. Actually, Kobe.
But yeah, Jordan. It's not like Jordan was, you know.
Well, he was known for sharing it at times during his career. Actually, Jordan would share it early in games, and Steve Kerr with the big shot. And
During his title run, yeah, he was.
John Paxson.
His title run, he was averaging about six assists per game.
Actually, he'll share late in the game more than James will. Know the truth. But, you know, Kobe was actually born and bred to be the next Jordan.
He talked like Jordan.
Yeah, did the tongue and all that stuff. So, okay. All right. So maybe Kobe.
Yeah,
and played
hell?
Defense, and played in a triangle, and played for Phil.
Right.
Okay, but besides the other...
Besides all that stuff...
okay.
James is the only two guard I've ever seen that can share, that can take over games offensively, that's pretty much unstoppable scoring, because there's not really like... He's not just relying upon this or just relying upon that. Jordan got to the free throw line a ton also.
Yeah.
A ton.
You mean like Dwayne Wade did in his prime?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't the shooter that James did, but he was unstoppable.
Nah, Dwayne couldn't score. Not
Dwayne
this.
In his best years was scoring 20 to 30 points per game in a league that didn't feature scoring as much as it does now.
Rebounding, assists. Jordan could control three elements of a game, really, three areas of the game. Jordan could also control defense.
Dwayne Wade's one of the all-time leading shot blockers in the two-guard position.
Dwayne's physically is not the same match as what Jordan was. Jordan could physically outmatch guys and physically intimidate guys. James is big and strong. Like, we can say whatever we want about James. James physically cannot really be handled. He's too strong getting to the rim. He's a big barrel chest guy. Like, he's an unusual body for a basket. Don't you think so? It almost strikes me as he's going to get heavy when he's old.
He's going to be heavy.
Yeah.
No. James has the
heavy gene. He's a real barrel chested guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a different body type. He's a real strong,
thick,
physical guy.
Thick, lower, everything.
Yeah.
All of it. All right. 713-780-3.
But we figured out that He's not like that much like Jordan.
No, he is. Basically, I made my point.
Basically, everybody thinks you're on weed. Okay, so 713-780-3776. If you're on Radio Row, give us a call. And Radio Row, by Radio Row, we mean anywhere.
Anywhere. Just say you're on Radio Row.
Especially if you're in some kind of a breakfast restaurant. That's Radio Row.
That's the most Radio Row you could find.
Like you did Kolache Factory this morning.
Well, other than being on a Radio Row, that's the most Radio Row you can get is in a restaurant. Kinda. If you can get hash browns there, that's pretty much Radio Row.
It is Radio Row. Hey, so how about this? I got my roses yesterday, and I'm going to tweet out a picture of them.
You know what? I took a picture.
Did you take a picture of yours?
Yeah, they look great. They look great.
I mean, the difference between, so roseexpress.com, the difference between, and the other companies, they send a dozen roses. A dozen roses looks like some like tumbleweed is coming through, and it looks like, what the hell? That's all you got me? Is a dozen? When you see 25 roses, and it is, I'm telling you, and they're awesome.
They're cut at different levels too, by the way.
Yeah.
So they're already pre-cut to be put in the, they're cut high and low level, two levels, so they're not all jammed together. I used to bring my daughter flowers every Friday. It's called Flowers Every Friday. And I did that for like 2 years. So I'm well versed in the flower game. And it is rare to be able to get them pre-cut to where you can put them right in a vase, basically, to have this quality of rose. And you can do this for Valentine's Day, John. Now, set up your delivery and be done with it. And even if you're going to get her some great big gift, this is the precursor gift. And if you send 12, if you send a dozen roses, it means, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
We'll see how long this lasts. If you send 25, now you're talking. But here's the thing. We got 25 for the price that we're talking about. You can kick it up to another 25, and it's just $20 more.
So it starts at $29. Uh-huh. The first 25 roses,
which is already,
and then every 25, you get, it's only $20 more, which is $89 for 100 roses.
That's legitimately unheard of at Valentine's Day.
So roseexpress.com. This is the way to go, guys. And we're going to tweet out pictures. Go to our Twitter at John Granato, at Lanzerline, roseexpress.com. Did you think that I would listen to
you now? ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We both sent out our pictures of the roses. You got to check them out. RoseExpress.com. Man, I tell you. She loved them.
I mean, my wife's like, thanks. She goes, thanks, baby. I'm like, you're welcome. Because I had forgotten briefly what it was for.
Yeah.
Then I tried to go twofer, and I told my daughter, I tried to do it really quietly. Those were your roses. They weren't supposed to be for them. She goes, Mom, those are supposed to be for me. And then it just got me heat from both of them.
Yeah, well, that's
I got to send her something
now. No. See, that's the, you. You were in a good place, and you ruined it.
I was in a great place. The daughter's like, wow, Dad's nice. He got Mom some roses. And then it was like, I tried to get greedy and do a twofer.
All right.
And then my daughter snitched on me. And then I was 0-for-2.
And then you got stitches. Yeah. My wife brought them home. She brought them out of the car. And I was like, oh, you got your roses. And she was like, oh, those are from you? I was like, who the bleep is going to send you roses? Who else is going to send?
Tell you who it could be. Gilbert.
It could have been Gilbert. She goes, I get stuff from people all the time. I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you get stuff all the time?
What now?
Send my wife, Gilbert, stop trying to get with my wife.
Hey, pull up Stephen A. Smith's comments on LeBron James yesterday. You know, Stephen A. Smith, no one swings from the jock harder than Stephen A. Smith with LeBron. Almost nobody. Well, yeah, but Windhorse.
He made his entire career out of it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like fanboy stuff.
He's like Stephen A. Smith. Ahmad Rashad?
Yeah, with MJ, but I'm just talking about like a media member, not best friend, but like Ahmad was like best friends with MJ.
They both had earrings, the same ear. As soon as Michael got his, Ahmad got his.
Yeah, is that one at the same time?
Yeah.
So anyway, no, I'm just talking about like...
No, yeah, I know
what you mean.
He
goes after Kevin Durant almost like Kevin Durant is the most scurrilous coward in basketball history to go with the Golden State Warriors. Like, he will take... whoever LeBron is against, whoever he's got any modicum of beef with, Kevin Love has got to figure out if he wants to have, you know, a man parts, a lady parts. I'm like, wow.
Oh,
you know,
that's aggressive.
Kyrie Irving, this is one of the most embarrassing situations of all time to go to the Celtics, you know, who are a one seed and who are still a one seed. Yep. I guess it's embarrassing. So he does all LeBron's biting, right? Yesterday, and so he's already crushed Kevin Durant for going to Golden State. Already, like, and I'm like, ooh, this LeBron and will listen to Golden State Warriors. Like, it's the greatest, it's almost a heat check to see if the LeBroners, who swing so hard, who've clowned Kevin Durant for doing that, what would they do if LeBron did that again? Because LeBron invented it. What would they do? And you know they'd still... like, that would be the most weak thing of all time. And I was thinking, what would
Stephen A. do?
And I saw Stephen A. Smith comments on it. I'm like, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to hit play because this puts him in a very precarious situation. Is he going to try to back out and try to say, it's different with LeBron than, you know, because he's joining a real super team instead of that garbage that Kevin Durant joined? Like, what could he possibly say? And when I hit play, I was like, well, he had to go after LeBron a little bit.
Let's hear.
Let me be very, very clear to LeBron James. If you even think about going to the Golden State Warriors, your legacy is tarnished forever. There's no other way around it. There's no other way. You cannot be a team. You cannot be the best player in the world that has had a stacked deck, that wins three championships, the latest in Cleveland after ending a drought that lasted more than a half century in that city. You've lost two of the last three championships to the Golden State Warriors, and then you turn around and you decide to join them. No matter how great Kevin Durant is, and he is phenomenal, it doesn't take away from the fact that at the time he left, it was the weakest move that I'd ever seen by a superstar. If LeBron goes to the Warriors, nothing, and I do mean nothing, will eclipse that in terms of weakness by a superstar. Absolutely, positively nothing. You go to Houston.
Yep.
You go a lot of different places. You can go back to Miami with D-Wade. You can stay in Cleveland. All right. Damn it, you can go to the nation's capital. Okay, you can do whatever you got to do. You can't go to the Golden State Warriors if LeBron James goes to the Golden State Warriors. If LeBron James has a meeting with the Warriors, he'll be vilified for that. If you saw him having a cup of coffee with the Warriors, he'd have a problem with that.
Wow.
I give him credit for going after him like that, just because, I mean, it's all true, but he's caped so hard for LeBron James in the past that it must have hurt his heart to have to say those things. But you had already gone after Kevin Durant. You really had no choice, and it would be the weakest thing of all time. I mean, if LeBron tried to stack the deck that hard just to chase rings, it would be – I think that's a legacy tarnisher personally, but whatever. I know he's done it before in the Miami and all that, but to do it again at that level would be – and they couldn't afford – I don't see how they could afford it. LeBron would have to take less.
They'd get rid of Clay and Iguodala, and yeah, it could be done.
Why in the world would you take – you're basically going Clay. You're not going Iguodala.
They'd have to.
I know, but – you're not getting Iguodala back, really. He's on the verge of retiring anyway. He's not. He doesn't help you.
They cut him or what? Well,
whatever they stretch, whatever provision, whatever they have to do. But two of those guys are going to have to go.
Oh yeah,
to make it
at
fit.
A minimum.
At a sign and trade, and you get and you send ship both of them to Cleveland.
But I don't.
And obviously,
I think LeBron would actually. I think he's heavily affected by what he hears. You know what I know James is not bothered by? Anything anyone says.
Except what happened when he went to Miami and everybody criticized him. He didn't give a rat's ass.
I think it hurt his... Well, he had already said, oh, you don't think he's sensitive and hears this stuff?
Oh, yeah. He probably has a burner account like Kevin Durant and shoots back at everybody on Twitter.
Well, he said,
James doesn't care when people say stuff.
Actually, that's not true. And here's what. Wait,
because you're gonna Malone Jr. Would disagree.
Allegedly, Dell. But also, actually, James started playing defense. Remember when he played defense? That he's played better defense this year. It's every other year he plays.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, when he was with Team USA. He came back and was playing much better defense.
Yeah, what'd they finish? 41-41 when he started playing defense.
No. They got to the Western Conference Finals.
No. The next year he played defense.
No, because it was the year, it was that year that he was Team USA with all those guys, Carmelo and LeBron and KD and all those guys. He came back and was second in MVP to Steph, Western Conference Finals.
Oh, that's true. The next year.
Then it was 41 where he didn't play defense. It's off years. Last year he was a little bit better. This year, the Rockets as a whole are playing better defense this year. It's one of the reasons that they're a different team is they do defend better. Now they have P.J. Tucker. Eric Gordon will defend you. Chris Paul will defend some. P.J. Tucker, that's what he's about. Mm-hmm. Clint Capella. They actually have better defensive players. Then they have James and Ryan.
Right.
James can occasionally defend. Ryan's a sharpshooter is what he is.
Do you call James doing this, swiping like that? There's that...
Well, if he knocks the ball out of the guy's hand like he did last night in the low post, bloop, off the leg, out of bounds. Oh, look at James with a smart defense. I call it crafty.
Is there a new definition for sharpshooter?
Yeah.
I thought, John just let that fly, fly on by. I didn't think you'd just let that.
I'm not gonna question his sharpshooting abilities.
Huh. Let me see. What was he,
3 of 4? Three? No, he's 3.
Lately, he's been shooting it way better.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's take a look.
That's John's favorite game when you say that, and then he just goes down Ryan Anderson's stats.
Oh,
let's see.
He had a four for six last night.
Yeah.
Game log.
You're welcome.
10 points a game.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm telling you, his last two games, he shot it well from three. 3 of 5.
Did he?
Yeah.
Two or three the night before.
Boom! We got a hot streak.
Of course.
And then 2 of 6 in his last three games. I'm sorry. Let me just give you some facts.
Uh-huh.
7 of his last 14. That would be 50%, boys. 50% in his last three. Sharp shooter. Sharp. Unless you guys think 50% from three is not good, which last I checked, it would be, it would lead all-time NBA.
9 for 22 in his last five games.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
Now, it's a five-game run. It's a fairly small sample size.
Yeah, and here's his point totals. 10, 13, 0, 7, 9, 5, 6 in his last eight games or so.
Yep.
So, you know, a sharpshooter. I don't know.
You love Ryan Anderson, Lance.
And you think
James Harden is the next Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, my Ryan Anderson thing is... It's kind of like having...
Lance, you're not at 790 anymore.
You don't have to do that.
It's kind of like Radio Row. No, I don't really care for James, the person, that much.
You don't have to break out your Rockets knee pads.
No, I do. I do, honestly. I mean, they're 37-14. It's the greatest run in history. We're giving them no credit.
The greatest run in history?
In Rockets history?
Or their history, okay.
Yeah. We're giving them no credit at all. Like, they suck until they win a championship.
We didn't say they suck.
No.
Well, they have gotten the Western Conference Finals. The Rockets have been pretty good the last...
Congratulations.
No, but that is true.
I'm saying congratulations.
This is a more cynical station than most. Most of Houston has actually been. None of us like playoff James, but the Rockets have been a pretty good team three of the last four years.
Playoff James is good. Elimination James isn't. Playoff James is good.
I think he's decent.
Elimination
He hasn't always
James.
Been good. James's playoffs, his shooting percentages dip way down. James just recently started picking up his playoff game, his elimination game. His game six to me.
Was the worst.
I will never forget that for the rest of my life.
I will never forgive him.
No, I won't either.
He doesn't care about that.
Well, unless he wins a championship.
Right.
He didn't even try. James didn't even try in game six because he was mad at somebody.
Okay, in the playoffs.
Or maybe.
In the playoffs.
Mike D'Antoni said something about his camp costing too much.
28.5, 26.
But look at his shooting percentages.
26-6. Okay, shooting percentages.
In playoffs. And then look at his
field goal percentage. 41-44, and in 14, I mean, he was 37-39, but his last 3 years, 41-44.
What are you, 9-7 Texans at 41%? That's not good. James gets a bunch of free throws, too. Look at his three-point shooting.
Hold on a second.
I'm telling you, career-wise, as a Rocket.
Field goal percentage this year is 45, but okay, before that, 44-44-44.
All
it
down.
Dipped just a little.
those are pretty. I mean, no, they did pretty good.
3-point percent is what you look at.
No, like, no, no, no. The last 3 years, 44, 44, 44 in the regular season.
Well, look at all
and
time
it was 44, 41, 41.
Look at his entire Rocket run.
What?
It's down. There's no way around. And look at his 3-point percentages. His turnovers go up slightly. I think it's slightly. It was still 5 a game. But believe it or not, that's like, that was his average.
Mm-hmm.
Close to it.
No, no, no. He's, but here, Jeff Van Gundy made a pretty good point because we had him on, you know, after, and everybody points to the elimination games, but how did they get to that elimination? How did they get to
matters.
The second round? How did they get to the Western Conference Finals?
No, that's a point I'm making, too. That matters, too, and we should celebrate that, too. Like, the game James had, 60-point triple-double, that should have been a massive topic. No one in NBA history, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, nobody has ever done that. James is the only guy who did that. You got to be able to share the ball to do that. It's just that we are so jaded, and I'm including myself here, we're so jaded
by
his failures in the playoffs because they've been so substantial. 12 turnovers against the Warriors or 11?
Yeah, but right.
An elimination game?
Right. Let's take a break. It's 8:32 ESPN 97.5. Got to catch up. We can continue this on the other side. If you want to talk on the radio, you're more than welcome. If you're at Radio Row, give us a call. 713 780-3776.
Holy crap. Ryan Anderson was plus 17 last night.
You see? How's that?
I had to go to NBA.com to find. That's Mr. Plus Minus. His plus minus was right there behind James Harden's.
Do you think that's going to be his nickname?
Is there any way he could get it be an alternate in the All-Star
Is there game? Any way he could be a Hall of Famer?
Not Hall of Famer, but can he get in the All-Star game as an alternate if somebody gets hurt?
Plus 17?
Just based on his plus minus and his recent sharpshooting? 50% in the last 3 games, guys.
You tell people you stay here all night doing draft stuff. Are you sure you don't put on like a red shirt and some shorts and go be a red rowdy?
Are you sure you don't have a continuous loop of Ryan Anderson on your laptop?
You don't think I'm beating on a drum?
I think you're beating on something while you're watching Ryan Anderson.
Man. Like, you know what I could be taking? Some bad beats at Bayou, right there at Prime Social. They got a bad beat jackpot, $50,000. Now, if you want to find out how you get that, here's the thing. The person who takes the bad beat, the person who gave the bad beat, and then everyone at the table gets a little taste. Same thing goes for, there's another bad beat jackpot for the Omaha games they have there. They have a special, you got to see for all the, it's called a fit. And if there's certain flop comes out, then you are going to get a car. They're going to buy you a car. I'm telling you right now, Prime Social is the spot for poker here in Houston. It's at 7801 Westheimer. It's between Dunvale and Hillcroft. It's very easy to find. It used to be the Churrascaria. It's a beautiful standalone building. Great, a ton of security, very safe. Gorgeous location, but I'm going to tell you right now, tremendous food and beverages, so you can go and enjoy that. They got backgammon, they got chess, they got a lot of different gaming on that side, and of course, 20 poker tables and 29 big screen televisions, so you're going to see all your sporting events. They got poker tournaments going on twice per day, one at noon and one at 6. $66,000 are guaranteed in payouts every single week with their poker tournaments, and of course, cash games are going on all the time from 11 a.m. to 4 a.m. Make sure that you go to PrimeSocialTX.com for more information and to find out about all their great bad beat jackpots and everything they've got going on. That's their website, PrimeSocialTX.com for the best poker in Houston. Make sure you go to Prime Social at 7801 Westheimer.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is how we do. Nobody do it like we do it. So show us some love. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The reason it took so long that the rejoiner was is because we were arguing what kind of peanut butter and jelly, what kind of peanut butter Trevor Ariza eats.
Actually, that's the truth, what John just said. So the peanut butter and jelly is an NBA phenomenon. It is a real thing. NBA players have to have peanut butter and jelly in locker rooms and on some flights.
Kevin Garnett started it.
Kevin Garnett supposedly is who started this. I didn't know about this until a couple years ago. Matt Thomas told me about it. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, for some reason, there's peanut butter and jelly in every locker room ever. If you go to a visitor's, you don't even have to request it. It's a done deal. I'm like, what? NBA players? I said, that's on your flight? He goes, well, that's on the flight, but also steak, shrimp, like all this really good stuff. And I said, and peanut butter and jelly? He goes, yeah. He's, I don't know how it started, but it started. And then ESPN did a whole expose. Shortly after he told me that, they did a whole thing on peanut butter and jelly in the NBA. And I guess Garnett is the guy who kind of got it started. So me and Raheel were kind of arguing about, what side are you on here? I feel like there's certain guys like PJ. Raheel seems to think that you have to have special kind of bread and peanut butter.
No.
You seem to think
PJ Tucker would eat. He does work.
He would. Yeah. Why would he eat that? I mean, PJ Tucker.
It tastes good.
Because Jif is awesome.
Okay, I know he works hard. You know why he works hard? Because he has the clean energy of an organic peanut butter spread, and not that dog.
The NBA
crap.
Is not you. So, they don't eat chicken.
What kind
blend.
Of peanut butter? Yeah, they're not me. They're worth $20 million each.
They don't eat chicken blend.
These guys are $20 million factories.
What do you think, James? You think James Harden is out there saying, "I need to get some organic peanut butter"? Do you have anything? Do you have an Ezekiel bread? No.
No.
Okay.
James isn't Ezekiel Bread.
Yes, he is.
And get, yeah.
No.
No.
You guys are acting like these guys are college students. They're not. They're
what kind of peanut butter do you
They're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
The fancy
That's
kind?
The most college thing you can do.
What kind of peanut butter do you have today?
Today I have a Central Market organic honey.
You're so full.
Del, he thinks NBA players are him.
All right, let's see it. Open it up.
Del, what do you think they eat?
I don't think Trevor Ariza's just eating Jif.
He's eating Jif.
You think he has to have special Peter bread Pan. And special peanut butters?
I don't think he's requesting special peanut butter, but I think it's on the menu, and he goes, oh, I'm going to eat that. Because I'm sure they have multiple brands, and he's going, I'm taking that one.
That's not...
Nah.
You didn't even put any peanut butter...
You're getting multiple brands.
You skimp on peanut butter on your sandwich.
Are you thin layer of peanut... Well, oh, no, right. Wait, you don't want to over...
No.
You got to go more jelly.
And what kind of bread is that?
That's just a whole wheat bread. Nothing crazy, just
yes,
whole wheat.
Yes, it is.
Stale.
Is it some kind of, yes, it's a whole 30 bread or a paleo bread?
No, I'm not
going to
tell you because you guys
are going to make fun. How many grains? Oh, you see?
No.
How many grains is it?
You guys don't want to have a conversation,
it's
then I'm not going to have
bread.
A conversation.
Is it an almond bread?
No.
Well, yes, it is.
Is it a quinoa bread of some sort?
Quinoa? What the hell is quinoa?
I didn't think quinoa could be a bread.
Quinoa?
Oh, now Fancy
quinoa.
Dell.
What's quinoa?
I'm sorry, Baytown Dell.
It's not even, I'm not from Baytown. The point is, there's a word. There's a word. It's called quinoa. It's not quinoa. What is quinoa?
Quinoa is what you say if you're keeping it real.
No, it's because you didn't know how to pronounce
quinoa.
It. Quinoa.
I'm it's never going to call it quinoa. It's going to be quinoa.
No. That's then why don't you just be like that guy in that commercial and go call it quinoa
All
or
right.
whatever.
I can't wait to have some kimchi from the store.
Kimchi.
No, it's kimchi. Y'all just told me it's kimchi.
No.
No, it's spelled differently.
No.
There's two different spellings.
Yeah, the words have different origins, so they got to sound differently.
It's an I.
Means,
Kimchi starts with a K.
He's in
quinoa
deep kimchi.
Starts with a Q.
Didn't you ever say that when you were a kid?
What?
You're in deep kimchi? Mm-mm. No?
Kimchi was
around? I
didn't
know what kimchi was
then?
Until like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You said
you're in
Chicago?
Yeah.
In the streets of
deep,
Chicago, they were
deep
saying
kimchi.
Deep kimchi?
You're in some deep
they're
kimchi now, boy.
Korean?
Well, you couldn't say S-H-I-P.
Why not?
You say you're deep kimchi.
Who are you around?
Because your mom would wash your mouth out. That's why.
Yeah.
Your mom would punch you in the face.
You mean
that's
the
why.
Mom who allowed you and your buddies to dupe old people out of money when you're
Odd Jobs
Incorporated has a problem?
My mom didn't know anything about it. She didn't know where I was.
Hey, Johnny, it's me. Hey, Paulie, it's me, Johnny Granato. Like, how you doing? hey, my mom's right here. We might be in some deep kimchi. I can't see you ever as a kid.
Yeah.
Hey, Pauly, my mom heard about us duping old man Johnson.
We're in
deep kimchi?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound real.
You know Kenny Ramone.
I don't know what kimchi is now. What are you talking about? Yeah. I always thought it meant ship. That's what.
Yeah.
Ship.
All right.
No, it's a Korean food that is basically saying tastes like.
Yeah, it's just fermented cabbage.
Yeah, that's all
well,
it is.
I was right on.
Well, yeah, and you got to put some spices on and stuff. It's pretty good.
But it's fermented.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
Good for your digestive system.
Yeah. No.
It smells.
Apparently, it's also, you don't want to be in it.
No, you don't want to be in it.
Not as a kid in Chicago.
No. I can't believe nobody was in deep kimchi when they were kids.
No, actually, we just said bleep.
No, you didn't.
Because we're adults.
Oh, didn't?
Even as kids.
In front of your mom. You say words like that in front of your mom. She doesn't know.
No.
You're full of it. No, you would never say it.
Yes,
his mom was an immigrant.
Let's call your mom right now.
She's sleeping.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
She's up. She's probably.
She has no kids.
She's probably making the hummus right now.
What?
For your dad or something. I don't know.
She's up early making hummus.
Hummus joke?
You can buy hummus at Central Market.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
She lives next to a Whole Foods.
Is she real or not?
She's real.
Well, then she's making her own hummus right now.
No, she's not.
I'm sure she is.
Is hummus a Pakistani dish?
No, it's not. That's his thing.
Oh, great. Guess what? I can't believe they're doing this crap again.
Ooh.
Andrew Perloff, who's McLovin on the Dan Patrick Show, he goes, Lance, you know I love you, but we're about to read the negative parts of your draft profile to Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
And I said, well, go ahead and read the bottom line part, too, where I talk about how good he is. Like, they refuse to do it. They only read the negative stuff to Carson Wentz. Like, any negative they can find. Oh, God, they piss me off.
Hold on. Was that a humble brag or no?
Yeah.
Dan Patrick,
I'm going to take this segment off because I'm going to go watch Dan Patrick talk about me.
Are you going to? Do you need me to change the channel?
No,
so you
all
can
these
watch
guys,
it?
All these guys.
Turn it on,
Del. It's a humble
turn
brag that they all hate me.
They know you.
Turn it on, Del.
No, right, what station is it on?
It's on. This is 16 minutes ago. It's probably not even on DirecTV or something.
Would you like us to pull up the YouTube clip and play it on Monday for you?
I would not.
Yes, we're going to play it.
I would not because it's not even fair.
We'll play it.
They read the negative, and I confronted him and Dan Patrick. I confronted Dan Patrick about it when I was in New York.
Did you punch him in the face?
No, I said, hey, just want to let you know, I'm the guy whose draft report y'all only read the negative stuff to the... Isn't that a great bit? I said, yeah, I wish you'd read the other parts where I... basically compliment and say this guy's going to be a really good player. Like Carson Wentz, I had as the 6th rated player in the whole draft, and they're just like, you'd think he was a total piece of dog, a total kimchi.
Yeah,
based on what they read. I'm like, read the part where I gave him a 6.5. What are you doing? Nope. You're not even reading that part. Nope.
Ryan Anderson eats great value peanut butter.
I can see that.
I'm not sure.
Plus minus.
Mr. Plus Minus is not trying to spend money on organic
stuff.
I'll bet
you Clint Capello and the other Euros are grubbing down on Nutella. Yeah,
probably. Oh, some dude put Nutella and almond butter. They'll put that combo together. And you're like, well, now you're just eating.
Now you're just having dessert.
Yeah, now you're just having
You ever have an almond butter? It's delicious. Yeah. It's a dessert. Nutella's a dessert.
That's what it is. And you know what? If you had the right testosterone, you wouldn't need all that sugar.
Well, I'm not sure that's accurate necessarily. But let me tell you about Men's Tea Clinic. 3 locations now. Not just 2. Not just 1801 Durham and I-10. Not just at 290 and Barker Cypress. They're in the Cypress location. It's also at 288 and Discovery Bay. Now in Pearland. That's right, Pearland. If you're feeling a little under the weather, when I say under the weather, you're not sick. You just kind of have the blahs. You just can't get off that couch. You can't get moving. You thought you were going to have your New Year's resolution, and it's just not happening. It can happen. You need a little boost, and here's the boost. It's called getting your testosterone level back to where it's supposed to be. 1 in 3 men over the age of 40 are going to experience a drop in testosterone. There's nothing you can really do about it. And when it happens, you're going to find that your quality of life will decline. Get the quality of life back to where it should be. And the reason, I mean, this is a big, big issue. It's why most insurance companies will cover you. Call today, 713-568-1175, or just drop in on any of the Men's Tea Clinic locations by going to mensteaclinic.com. Find your location, stop in, get tested, and if you're found to be low in testosterone, they can start treating you. The initial burst of energy followed by the changing of your body type is amazing. Go to mensteaclinic.com, find out for yourself.
ESPN 97.5. is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You got the video?
Wow.
Larry Nassar in court was attacked by...
Well, I don't know if he... I don't know if
well,
he got
trying to
him.
Get to him.
A father of three
father of
daughters.
Three daughters who...
She's smiling.
Oh, he goes after him. He wanted...
He didn't get there.
He didn't get there.
Damn it.
Three Can daughters that Larry Nassar sexually abused, and he attacked Larry Nassar in the courtroom.
You know,
why is Larry Nassar still in the courtroom? Go put him in jail so he can.
No. He was getting his feelings hurt from having to read hear those things. Remember?
Mean tweets that he had to, on
yeah,
Jimmy
he
Kimmel.
Had to hear, he had to hear people say ugly things about him, and it was hurting his feelings.
It did hurt his feelings. Hey, why is he not? Why are we still Larry Nassar? Go and enjoy your prison life with all the guys they're going to have a lot of fun with you.
So his dad or her dad or their dads, he had three daughters.
Three girls.
I don't think he planned to do that. It's just spur of the moment.
Looks like.
Was just overcome with anger.
Yeah.
And
looks like Larry Nassar might have said something or, I don't know, looked at him.
You didn't have to say a thing. You'd want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just washes over it because he was talking to the court. And I mean, I'm sure he just got more and more pissed off.
Yeah.
Dude, why are these crazy, huge, crazy things happening? Have you not just... 150 plus or 160 victims. We have a hurricane that is the 50 inches of rain. It's like the largest this, that, and the other. There's all kinds of just massive, huge, mega stuff. That's the first time this has ever happened. This is the, you know, guy gunman in Vegas just shoots up, kills 26 people out of his window for no reason.
Right.
Just firing bullets, like just crazy stuff.
Radio talk show hosts on Radio Row.
Man, getting kicked. The whole station's kicked
crazy.
Out.
Crazy. Did you see? This is an interesting story. Here's an interesting story. Former TCU wide receiver Colby Listonby.
Yeah.
He is on is he on the Dolphins practice squad? He's with somebody right now. He is actually suing Texas Christian University. And Gary Patterson and the Big 12 because they made him play. Well, he says that Gary Patterson made him play while he was injured. He had a severe groin pull. He said he was harassed, humiliated, pressured, and threatened to return to play. He went back and played after just taking a couple of games off when it should have been like an 8-week injury recovery. But he said that he was so harassed and humiliated that he felt like he had to get back on the field, and I guess he feels like he hasn't been the same. He was a sixth round pick by the Bills, and he was placed on the non football injury list.
Suing the universe, man,
that's for $1 million.
That's rare. That
it
opens
is
an
rare,
interesting...
and I wonder if it's a career killer. Tim's on right now.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Tim Brown is joining us right now here on Radio Row, our Radio Row here in Houston, Texas. Tim Brown, Hall of Famer from Notre Dame, Raider fame, and he's with us here on ESPN 97.5. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. We appreciate that, and thanks for calling in early. We appreciate you.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Well, let's talk about this week and talk about what you have seen this week in And radio, how's Radio Row been?
Oh my God, it's crazy. They got it in a condensed area in the Mall of America, and literally, I mean, you got to squeeze by almost every aisle to get someplace. So it's a little different than years past.
Yeah, and you've been to most of the ones in years past, I'm sure.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you've been there.
You usually go out to Radio Row, don't you?
Oh, yeah. This is a yearly event for me. It's rare that I don't have some kind of promotion on Radio Row. So yeah, I'm used to this.
Well, I want to say get it out of the way, but I do want to mention you're there on behalf of K's Jewelers, and you can go to K.com, but they're the official jeweler store of the Pro Hall of Fame, and they are going to be creating the Ring of Excellence that's presented to all the Hall of Fame inductees. So that's pretty cool for you to get a special, you know, get that special ring. I know K Jewelers is one of the reasons that you're here, but they're also going to be presenting you with a really cool ring and all the inductees. So that's got to be another special experience for you.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. They have done an incredible job with the Ring of Excellence. And, you know, by the end of this year, every living Hall of Famer will have a Ring of Excellence. And, you know, it's over 175 of us, I believe. And these rings are not cheap. And for the K right. to invest back into the guys, it's a beautiful thing. And we're certainly appreciative of the relationship that we have with K Jewelers.
We're talking with Tim Brown here, Hall of Famer, nine-time Pro Bowler, with us here on ESPN 97.5. And, okay, let's talk a little bit about this game. And let's talk about the receivers. Without Julian Edelman, with Tom Brady, and we've talked about Tom Brady. As a matter of fact, this was a discussion this week that he really hasn't had, you know, a couple of Hall of Famers is all he's played with. You know, maybe Wes Welker will go to the Hall of Fame. Maybe Gronk will go to the Hall of Fame. We'll see. Randy Moss. But otherwise, he has not played with great players throughout his career, and yet he continues to do this, Tim.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at the Super Bowl champion teams of the past, especially, you know, I guess when you look at this decade, you know, I don't know how many offensive teams have really blown teams away with great receivers, great running backs, great quarterbacks. You know, you may have had a great quarterback or a great running back or a great receiver, but I don't think you've had a combination of the three. Like back in the day when you had Emmitt, Michael, and Troy, or Steve, or Joe, and Jerry, and Roger Craig. You know, back in the day, you needed all three, but I don't think you need that anymore. And so you have a guy like Tom Brady who has the ability to make every throw and to get the offense in the perfect play every time, and put it on the offensive line to block, and the receivers to catch, and the running back to run. You know, that man, that's like having four all-stars, four Pro Bowlers right there, you know? I mean, that's the thing about it. So I don't know if you need that anymore. And quite frankly, I don't think Tom wants that headache. You know, some of these superstar receivers come with a price, man. You gotta deal with some stuff.
Yeah.
And in the system that they have now, when he talks, I'm guaranteeing you that everybody's listening to him on the offensive side of the ball. And I think, you know, he has it just the way he wants it.
Welcoming in 94.1 ES Sports Map, 94.1 here on ESPN 97.5. What was this week like for you back in 2002?
I'm sorry.
What was Super Bowl week like for you back in 2002?
Man, you know, it was nerve-wracking for me because my wife was pregnant. And when we left town, I had to leave her back in Oakland because she couldn't travel. She was on bed rest. So, I mean, after every practice, you know, I'm running to the phone, you know, making sure she was okay. So I had a little bit of a difficult time enjoying the week or really, you know, doing anything but worried about her. You know, at the same time, you know, when Friday came, I have a ritual that I was still able to get into and get ready to go play the game. But Monday through Thursday was pretty tough for me.
You know, it's interesting. You had a 10-year run from 93 to 2002, where in nine of those 10 years you had at least 80 receptions. Now, you got to remember, this is not everyone sitting in 11 personnel groups with three wide receivers out of a shotgun firing, throwing it 35 times a game. Tim Brown had 80 catches or more in nine of the 10 years, had 1,000 yards receiving in nine of the 10 years. That was a really, really a big deal at that time for you to be that kind of wide receiver, one who was that consistent for that period of time. But something struck me as I'm looking through this. I'm just thinking, you know what? Even though fantasy football was around, there was no Twitter, you probably didn't have to hear people give you crap about, I got you on my fantasy football team, Tim, like players have to deal with today, right, where their stats are so important to the general public now.
Yeah. You know, for me, it was a time of really trying to prove myself to myself, not to anybody else. You know, I challenged myself year in and year out. And one of the things I wanted to do is to have one more catch or one more touchdown or one more yard than I had the year before. And I was actually able to get that put in my contract where the Raiders would guarantee me 2 years later. So if it was 94, they would guarantee me 96 if I did that in 94. And so, you know, that was something that kept me pushing, man. It kept me trying to make sure that I could be the best receiver I could possibly be. Never thinking about the Hall of Fame, to be honest with you. Just wanted to make sure when I walked away from the game, I have given all I could possibly give, and wouldn't be one of these guys walking around going, man, coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know what I mean? So I wanted to sell it all out, and that's what I did.
Tim Brown with us on ESPN 97.5, Hall of Famer from Dallas, but you probably hated the Cowboys growing up, right?
Shoot, man. Yeah, just the opposite, Bubba.
No! But you hated them when you were playing them, I'm sure.
Well, you know, it was funny. A real quick funny story, man, is, you know, I was a fan my rookie year. You know, I used to tape VHS, tape the Raiders, I mean, the Cowboy games, and go home and watch them. You know, set my VCR. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
set my VCR to watch the Cowboys. And when they got rid of Tom Landry, all the love went with Tom out the door.
Well, that's the way it's got to be. What do you think of our guy here in Houston? I think DeAndre Hopkins is kind of special when it comes to his ability to create separation. He probably can't run faster than a 4.6 right now, but his ability to body up, his strong hands, I just think his ball skills are absolutely generational, what he's able to do from a ball skill standpoint, and not worry about just plain flat-out speed. Because, as you knew, when you got older, you have to really be skilled and crafty to keep those catch counts high.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this game is not all about speed and size. You know, you have to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, you know. And I try and tell young guys all the time, man, watch film. Watch your opponent. See what he's doing. Look what he's doing on first down, second down. What is he doing when he plays bump and run? You know, if they bump and run on first down, it may be different than the way he plays bump and run on third down. Look at those things. Understand that, you know, and that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, right? But once you get that part of the game down, man, it just makes everything else so much easier, because you walk on the field and you're 3rd and 8, you go, okay, I know what he's going to do. He's going to bail. He's going to come up like he's going to press, but he's not, you know, because that's what he's done the majority of the time in these situations. So I think, man, if young guys would just, you know, watch film and learn the game, from that standpoint, you know, yeah, you may be able to jump over tall buildings and leap over cars or whatever, but, you know, at the same time, man, if you just know where that car is coming from, you wouldn't have to leap over it. So I think from that standpoint, you know, it's a situation where the game is much more cerebral than maybe some of these guys make it. And if you can ever get it there, man, it could be a beautiful thing for you.
Tim Brown, Hall of Famer for K Jewelers. The Ring of Excellence is what they're promoting this year. K Jewelers Ring of Excellence. We appreciate you. Are you doing anything special this weekend? Are you going to be at the game? What are you going to do?
I don't know yet if I'm going to the game. I have an opportunity to go, but I'm thinking I may just go back to the whole hotel room, kick my feet up, man, and watch what I think is going to be a pretty good football game.
We hope so. Tim Brown for K Jewelers, we appreciate you being here.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right, there's Tim Brown right here on ESPN 97.5. Welcome in, Sports Map 94.1. Thanks for joining us. You join us right in the middle of a conversation with Tim Brown. Called us a little earlier than we thought. He's prompt. Tim Brown is going to be there on time.
Tim's not going to be late. The line right now, is it still 4.5?
4.5.
What is my bookie say?
49. My bookie says 4.5, 49.
And that's where people can go if they want to get action?
Is that a tease?
I'm just asking you a question.
Yeah. The answer is yes. That's where you can go, Lance. Mybookie.ag. Mm-hmm. Mybookie.ag is ready
for
you.
They got prop bets?
They'll have every prop bet you could possibly want.
A zillion?
What did you bet so far?
So far, I have just the Patriots. That was the early. I should have waited. Because I thought it was going to go
five?
I got 5.5.
5.5?
Yeah, remember?
You're one of the
stupids. I read it wrong. I was like, man, I think it's going to go up because public's going to go with the Patriots.
I think the public will push it late, but I've been late, surprised at where it's sitting right now.
But they have a cool thing. It's a prop builder. So what you can do is you pick your player, and then they offer you props, and you build your own bet. So they'll say Tom Brady total yards.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's way better than like your average site.
I see that.
And that's an unpaid. Just an actual.
He doesn't get paid for this. I do.
No, but we all win.
No, that's right. We all win at mybookie.ag.
Just don't build a player prop bet around Oklahoma City
against the Wizards. Or last night. Oh, my God. Get off Oklahoma City, dude. It's time for you to get on mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. They'll match up to 50% of your first deposit right now at mybookie.ag.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.